I really don't know what to say except to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
This is your birthday. You're 70 years old. When Moody and I were working together in Las Vegas, Moody was in the band, the Hilton Orchestra, 20 years ago, and I'm 57, Moody is 70 now. So 20 years ago, Moody came down my dressing room, and he came in and he said, Bill, he said, I'm 50 years old today, man. I said, well, happy birthday, Moody. He said, you know what? I don't feel 50. So I said, well, Moody, when were you 50 before? So Moody said, oh, yeah, that's right. Well, today you're 70. You don't feel 70. Arturo Sandoval.
From the album Moody's Party, that's, of course, Bill Cosby. And that should give you kind of a hint as who the guest of the Jazz Cat is today. And if you're waiting for the Jazz Cat, his appointed time is normally 5:14 p.m. on Tuesdays. However, jury duty beckoned, and he certainly had to respond. And he's here, though. And without further ado, let me bring on the Jazz Cat himself with his guest today, and I'll let him make the introduction.
Mary Hamada.
Hey, Leroy.
And, you know, yes, I did have jury duty, although they probably could have arrested me speeding on the way home to be here.
Don't say that.
I had to speak with this young man. I had to get him online, Mr. James Moody.
Hey, wonderful to be here.
Hey, James, how you doing, James?
I'm fine. I'm a bit Moody.
Mr. Moody.
No, they call me Moody. You know why I don't relate to James? Because in school it was always Moody James, Moody James. In the Air Force it was Moody James. They were, hey, Moody, Moody, Moody. So if the people say James, I'm looking to see who they mean. Is Harry James? You know, who? You know, so everybody, you know, that knows me is Moody.
Well, we all know and love you, yeah. Moody. As a matter of fact, on my way home to get here to the phone today, I spoke with Ms. Diane Reeves, who asked me to please tell you hello.
Oh, thank you very much. And when you see her again, give her a big hug for me.
I'll do that. I'll see her
tomorrow. I'm one of her big fans, believe me.
You know, every time
Diane
every time I speak with the singers, I mean, immediately, they get a great big smile on their face when I mention James Moody. I mean, the singers love you.
Well, I know they do, because they know that, like, if they don't do what I do, then, like, everything is fine. I'm not a singer. You know what I mean? So you listen to me and say, ah, that's what you don't do.
Yeah.
So I got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you, man. Hey, you know, just this past September, I had the honor to be on stage with you as the master of ceremonies at Monterey. You played in the 50th anniversary Monterey Jazz Festival All-Star Band.
Yeah. The Young Bloods.
Yeah, a lot of Young Bloods. This group includes Benny Green on piano, Terrence Blanchard, Kendrick Scott, Derek Hodge, and one person who loves you as well, Ms. Nina Freelon.
Right, yeah. So, man, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Not at all. Well, you know, just like the San Francisco Jazz Collective, you will be touring. You guys are going to do a 10-week tour in January with this band.
Right, I think we start the 6th of January and go through March the 17th. One-nighters.
One-nighters? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, on a luxury bus. And the nice thing about it, besides being with wonderful people, my wife is going to be with me, Linda.
Hey, you know what? That's the best thing.
Tell me about it.
I mean, your wife, Linda's obviously been an inspiration. It's so wonderful and fulfilling to go through life with a supporting partner that gets and understands and loves the music.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure, man. Yeah. Yep. Made a big difference in a lot of things in my life, you know, because, boy, I had had it. Are you supposed to say things that I had had? Anyway, that's what I meant. I had it.
Yeah.
No more. And then I met my wife, man, and shucks, met her 2 weeks. I was in love, and 3 months later, we were married.
Oh, how beautiful is that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Moody's mood for love, right there.
You could say that again. Da 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 da. Hey, you know, Najee just recorded that.
Did he?
And he played the heck out of it, man. I said, damn, Najee, I wish I would have played it like that.
Hey, well, you know what? Najee's going to put a lot of dollars in your pocket for doing that tune.
Well, I wasn't looking at it that way, but since you said it, my pocket, they do like the mumps.
Yeah, I'm sure. You're listening to James Moody right here on your favorite jazz station, 1410 AM, KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show is called Live with the Jazz Cats. I'm Leroy Downs on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Got one thing, Mr. Moody, that all humans have in common is that we all get in the mood for love. I mean, that's what this jazz music is all about, man.
Oh, that's for sure.
You coined the phrase.
Yep.
It pays dividends of smiles and love and sensual and emotions and that musically and physically and psychologically leave everybody.
And intelligently. Leroy?
Yes, sir.
I said, and intelligently.
And intelligently. Well,
yeah.
Tell me what the spiritual aspect of Moody's mood for love is all about.
Well, it was something trying to learn music, if I could say it, because like I was playing tenor and going to alto to play Moody's Mood for Love, going back, like it was another key. And it was also another pitch listening. And like I hadn't played alto saxophone, so it was a challenge. So with the love of the music and my wanting to learn every day, that's how that came about.
Yeah.
Trying to find the notes, you know. So now, and as I look back at that, like things like that always help me because like I'm still trying to, you know, learn music, and when you say that to people, they always say, oh, at this stage, as old as you are, listen, when you stop learning, no matter what it is, it doesn't have to be music, it could be anything, you're finished. You know, because no matter what it is you do, I don't care what it is, you can always do better. And you do better by giving yourself, having challenges in whatever it is you do. Because there's no one way to do something. There are thousands of ways to do something, you know. So, and the more you learn, the more you find out you don't know, but it's fun trying to learn. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, this music, this jazz music that we all love so much, is about foraging ahead and exploring and finding new ways to do old things and old ways to do new things.
Well, that's a nice way to put it. That's one of many, many ways to put it, you know. But the nice thing about jazz is, and why it's so good for young people, is because it's educational, really. Because, like, you got to have some kind of intelligence to be able to play any kind of music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But jazz is an intelligent music, and it takes some learning to do it. So, like, but if you don't want to, like, you know, give the time to learn or to practice or whatnot, then you've got what people are listening to.
Well, you know, I got in trouble fooling around with a pretty woman.
Eddie Jefferson.
Man,
yeah.
Tell me how you hooked up with, I love this guy. Eddie Jefferson is the best.
Yeah, well, you know, Eddie Jefferson is the one that wrote the lyric to Moody's Mood for Love. And Bab Gonzalez, he was like singing with my septet. So Bab Gonzalez, he left, and I needed a singer. So I was in Cleveland, and the word was out that I wanted a singer. Eddie Jefferson came by and tried out. He sang the Moody's Mood for Love for me. Now, I didn't know who Eddie Jefferson was, and I didn't know he had written the lyric. I didn't know anything, but when he did it, I said, you got the gig. You got it. So, and as time went on, I found out that he wrote the lyric. And then, like, he would write other lyrics to, like, Dexter Gordon solos, Miles, you know, these different things. He'd get a quart of ice cream and get in bed with his bathrobe and put on his Victrola, because that's what it was in those days, and write lyrics to the solos, you know. And so, like, he was singing in the band. So now we would go and be doing one-nighters. And we'd do a one-nighter, and we'd be on stage, and we'd look out, and there'd be maybe like, you know, 1,000 people, and the guy would tell us there were 500 people there. So I made Eddie Jefferson the manager. He had a little click thing on him, so he would go out at the door and count people as they came in. He'd run up and sing and count some more, you know,
We
could get a true count.
Yeah.
And that's how that went.
Well, you know what Abby Lincoln said, you got to pay the band.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
But you got to get the money first. Because, boy, like in those days, oh, pain in the neck. I mean, they always wait till the last minute. Then they sit down and put the dollar bill down. And then they, all the heads had to be facing the same way and stuff, rather than just count the money out and give it to you. The last minute, they always did. That's why, like, everybody was kind of skeptical, because, like if anybody wanted to rob you or something, they knew exactly when to do it. Wait, because they knew you were getting the money, and wait, and then, you know what I mean?
Well, that's a pretty volatile time.
Yeah.
Good thing you had Eddie Jefferson there backing you up.
Oh, yeah, and some other stuff, too. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. It's hot.
Yep.
You're listening to James Moody right here on 1410 AM. KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show's called Live with the Jazz Cat. I'm Leroy Downs, and it's on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, you know, 60 years is a wonderful number to be associated with this music, and I know that it is the love for creativity that gets you through the highs and lows of the jazz life.
Well,
now, you are a National Endowment winner, one of our Jazz Masters of 2006.
Yeah, that's what I was honored to get that, you know, because I know so many other people that should have, you know, one of those. But I'm honored, but I'm also there it comes, CRS.
Well, you know, the award is a beautiful award. It honors people who have been contributing so much love and creativity to this music. And, I mean, you have so many albums, and you certainly have done a fine job representing this music.
Well, I appreciate that, Leroy. That's nice, you know, and I appreciate it. That's why. But I know so many other people that have had that too, see, so that's why I'm saying I'm honored and privileged to have received it, you know.
Yeah.
And I congratulate the ones that are going to get it next year, you know, like Quincy and Tom McIntosh and Joe Wilder, you know.
Yeah, there's so many more people down the pipeline that need to be honored.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
that's
glad
for sure.
That they paid respect to you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, you know, you've had the experience of living overseas as a jazz musician. What is the difference there? I think I know it's more different than Sweden and America, living as a jazz musician and playing. What are the different vibes?
Well, the times are different. The time was different. Like, when I was living in, well, first of all, I went to Paris to visit my uncle for 2 weeks. My Uncle Louis, the gentleman that brought me my first horn.
Oh, wow.
And I went to stay for 2 weeks and stayed 3 years. And when I went to France, to Paris, after a few weeks, like, the way I felt about myself and the feeling that I had about just, you know, being colored and all like that, all of that stuff went away. Because I saw what was happening. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't the other colored people's fault after what was going on and how they were treated. It was the government here in America, you see. So when I got to, and I found that out, like within 2 or 3 weeks, they were prejudiced towards the Arabs the same way there as they were, as I was being treated in America. So as I usually tell people, and my wife Linda knows, like I always say, there's nobody in this world better than me now. I don't care who they are or what they look like. And by the same token, I'm not better than anyone else in this world. But I would like, and I have to say this, I was an American serviceman. I was gung-ho about going to war. You know, oh, my country this and my country that. And I'm supposed to be an American soldier, and they put me in Greensboro, North Carolina. I was stationed there, and the German prisoners of war would come into town with the MPs and jump off the truck with the MPs and go into the restaurant and eat, and I couldn't go in there and eat, and I was 18 years old. I'm 82 now, and I'll never forget that, you know. I'll never forget playing with Dizzy Gillespie's band and Ella Fitzgerald with the Dizzy Gillespie band, and we were on a southern tour, and we would go pull into a southern town, and we'd go to the ballroom, and there'd be a rope down the middle of the ballroom, and on one side would be colored, and the other side would be Caucasian. And another thing that pisses me off, and I meant just what I said, Leroy, is to be called black. I'm not black. If you look at me, you, Harry Belafonte, Bill Cosby, look at Lena Horne, look at all of us. We're all different colors, you know, and nobody's black, you know, but all that stuff, like, you know, like this government, boy, or like the country, man, all that prejudice stuff is really like a pain in the butt, and it's still here, and that really perturbs me. That bothers me, and it bothers me because rather than people trying to see the good in you, like you have two eyes, supposedly you assume somebody's male or female. You have two feet, you have hands, fingers, toes, you know, hair, or maybe not, like in my case. And you know what? They don't see that. All they see is a color, you know. Man, and it's going to be a drag because you can't go to the store and say, well, yes, you can, too. You anywhere you go, like if you're a certain color, you get a better deal, you know. And that's, like, you know, in my family, like, there are people like Jesse Jackson was saying, the color of the rainbow, you know. All kind of different colors, you know, but... they just look at one thing, you know.
Well, Moody, when we see you, all we hear is good music and good vibes, man.
That's what I always give. And you know who I attribute that to? My mother.
Exactly.
My mother told me, she said, son, you take a person as an individual, not as a group. And let me tell you this, Leroy, the reason I say that is because when I was a kid, like when I was young in Newark, New Jersey, if somebody was robbed or something, somebody was raped or something, the first thing we would do with each other, all the guys say, what, was it a colored guy or a white guy? Say it was a white guy. Say, whew, thank goodness. And the reason we said that was because if it wasn't, I'd be at fault. You see, that was one of the main things. Something would happen, and every colored guy was to blame. But if something else happened the other way, then the one person, the white guy, he would be to blame. And that's the way we came up, you know.
Well, you know, this music is all about love, you know. It's
yep.
Really not about colors at all, except for the colors that you hear inside the music.
Yep.
And, you know, it's 2007, right at the brink of 2008, certainly a different day in jazz. And, you know, you've witnessed and been a part of the evolution for so long. I mean, what do you see as an element in the music that has stood the test of time and it's still there just like it was back in the day?
The element of the music is that the jazz musician, the music is becoming more and more intelligent. By that, like, it's intelligent, but it's being even, like, let's say it's more, what word am I looking for? More common than my wife, Linda, helped me. It's becoming more complex, you see. And the more complex it gets is because the younger musicians, they're learning from the ground up early, not like the older musicians, a lot of them, who learned like kind of late, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know. So, and because of that, like when something is called being complex, that means because much more has been added to it, not added to it, but you found out about it, and you're learning that. And you see, the more you learn with music, the more you find out that there is to learn. And if, you see, if people were able, if they would be able to listen to jazz and they'd educate their ears to jazz, they would be able to understand so much more, you see. But with what they listen to today, like I've said this before, America is a land of mediocrity when it comes to the art, because if it's something stupid and dumb, so give me some more of that.
Yeah.
You know, but anything with that with intelligence to it, like people, you know, they, and then they have a like they got the nerve to call somebody a savage or something. Have any of these people ever seen themselves doing the disco and stuff? You know?
Well, Moody, we're running out of time here.
Well, just before you go, let me say this. I got to say, like, if my father would have sung to my mother the way people are singing today, I never would have been born. Whooping and hollering and screaming and going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And one more thing, 25 million people calling an automobile a television set doesn't make it one.
Well, Moody, it's been great having you, and we appreciate all the things that you've done for the music, and we love the way you sing, man.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank
James
you.
James Moody, right here on 1410 AM.
There I go. Beautiful, Lord.
Let's give it to him because he may never...